I don't know how many of you were in service with us on Sunday. We're still in the series, First Things First. So why are we still in the series? God didn't tell me to stop. And even though, like this past Sunday, I thought I was finished and I'm recording notes. And next thing I know, we had part eight. I thought something different today. We're in part nine. So we're going to keep going until God says stop, because there's just some truths, some principles, some very simple teaching that he wants us to get. Because as if you've been around me long enough, you know I'm very big on principles and fundamentals. And in this series, he's been talking about some fundamental truths that we have to master. Say, I have to become a master of the fundamentals. Amen. Michael Jordan said in one of his books, I believe the name was I Can't Accept Not Trying. He said, the minute you get away from fundamentals, the bottom falls out. The minute you get away from fundamentals, the bottom falls out. So we're going to learn some more fundamentals. This is part 9- no options, if you need a title. And go with me, please, to Hebrews 11:6. This is where we've been starting every lesson, and he hadn't told me to change it. And I'm going to share that verse out of the J.B. Phillips New Testament. Hebrews 11, verse 6, J.B. Phillips, it reads, and without faith, it is impossible to please him. For the man who approaches God must have faith in two things. First, that God exists. And secondly, that it's worth a man's while to try to find God. So it is extremely important, and it's a very basic fundamental. We have to believe that God exists. If you don't believe God exists, you're not going to go out looking for him. And if you don't believe God exists, why would you believe that the Bible is true? Because how can someone who not exists author a book? Someone who not exists, someone who doesn't exist. And because you know that he exists, you have to know it's worth your while to try and find him. Then we go to Matthew 6, verses 31 to 33 in the Johnson paraphrase. The same thought of what things we should be doing first. Again, I repeat, do not live with anxiety. Do not keep asking, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Where will we get our clothes? All this continuous quest for more and more of the physical necessities occupies the full attention of those who are unaware of God's presence. So this verse is letting us know that when we put our attention on getting stuff and things, we're unaware of God's presence. And when you give something your full attention, well, you have no attention left for anything else. And if we're giving our full attention to the physical necessities, we're paying no attention to God or what he is saying. Read further on, I can assure you that your Father, the source of your being, is aware of all your physical needs. Verse 33 gives us some very important instructions. You are to give first priority to the spirit dimension and to settling all your relationships right. When you get a proper perspective, these other things will take care of themselves. So once we get our minds right and our focus right and our priorities in order, we'll see all these other things seem to just take care of themselves. And guess what you won't see? You won't see yourself being anxious. You won't see yourself being concerned. You won't see yourself worrying about anything, because you know that your Father is aware of what you need. We're to give full attention to the spirit dimension, full attention so that we can always be aware of God's presence, because the verse tells us that people who worry and give full attention to the stuff and things that they're worried about, they pay no attention to God. We want to give God our undivided attention. Because when we are unaware of God's presence, when we're concerned about other things, I realize, I hope you will realize it, not only are we not seeking God first, we're not seeking him at all, because we're too wrapped up in other things. Then we learned another principle on Sunday in Matthew 22, verse 34 to 38. And again, I'm in the Johnson paraphrase. And that's just what it is. It's a translation. It's available online. It, you know, some of the books are in little paperbacks. Others, they're e-readers. But it would be a very good investment for you. Matthew 22, verses 34 to 38. Said, when the pious rule keepers got word that Jesus had neutralized the attack of the aristocrats, they swore again to trap him. Important to remember that their goal was not to spread truth or give truth. Their goal was to trap Jesus, to trip him up, to get him to say something so that they could arrest him. This time they sent a lawyer as their delegate to ensnare Jesus. The lawyer asked, "Teacher, among all the rules which we have been given, which do you consider to be superior?" Without any hesitation, Jesus answered, "You are to love the Lord your God with all your feelings, with all your inner being, and with all your intelligence. This is the number one rule." And what we saw in that, in this particular translation, it says Jesus answered, but it said something before that. Without hesitation. Jesus didn't have to consider what he was going to say. He didn't have to consider who he was saying it to. He didn't have to consider what was going to be the repercussions of what he said. He knew who he was. He knew whose he was. He knew what he's been taught. And so without hesitation, he acted on it. Because hesitate, I looked it up, it means to be reluctant or to wait to act because of fear. Because of indecision, because of disinclination. It means to have doubts or to be unwilling. See, sometimes we hesitate because we just don't want to do whatever it is God told us to do. You may not be guilty of that, but I sure was. Hesitate, it's also a moral or ethical consideration or a standard that acts as a restraining force or inhibits certain actions. So, you know, hesitation is the act of just holding back. You may know you should do something, but for whatever reason, you just want to hold back. You just want to wait. Jesus, without hesitation, said what needed to be said. We have to take a lesson from that. Without hesitation, we need to say what needs to be said. We need to be mindful. This may pinch a little bit. We need to be mindful and say something when people post things on our pages on social media that we don't agree with or we know doesn't go along with what God has said. We need to feel very comfortable and without hesitation saying something instead of leaving it alone. Because when we leave things alone, we're saying that it's okay. And guess what, folks? Everything is not okay. But what's important, again, is that Jesus spoke without hesitation. And what he was able to do that because of what he said in John 8, verse 28, in the Amplified Classic Bible. That Jesus added, "When you have lifted up the Son of Man on the cross, you will realize, no, understand, that I am he for whom you look, and that I do nothing of myself, of my own accord, or on my own authority. But I say exactly what my Father has taught me." He doesn't, you know, smooth it down, smooth it off, round the edges. Whatever he was taught to say, he said. However he was taught to respond, he responded. We need to be the same way. Jesus knew what he was taught, and he bought into the teaching. That's another key part, folks. We can be taught, but if we don't buy into, if we don't believe is truth, that which we've been taught, we won't do it. But Jesus, he never hesitated. He did what was securely in him, and he did what he was taught to do. We have to do what we were taught to do. We cannot afford to give any consideration to any force or action that wants to inhibit us or restrain us. We have to pay no attention to it and stay focused in, stay zeroed in, stay locked in to what we've been taught. Say, I have to stay locked in to what I've been taught. This is why that's so important. In Mark 4, verse 18 and 19, this is part of the parable of the sower. Many of you are familiar with it, but I'm reading this or sharing this out of the International Children's Bible because of the way it puts it. Verse 18 says, other than like the seed planted among the thorny weeds, they hear the teaching, but then other things come into their lives, worries, the love of money, and wanting all kinds of other things. Listen to this. These things stop the teaching from growing so that teaching does not produce fruit in their lives. When you get yourself caught up on other things, when you start worrying about other things, when you start wanting other kinds of things, it will stop what you've been taught from taking root in your life and growing. And if it's been growing and you suddenly get yourself distracted, it stops the growth. It just stops it. And your life becomes unfruitful when it comes down to spiritual things. It'll bear a kind of fruit that you weren't designed for it to bear. So it's very important that the teaching is protected, is guarded. People tell me, you know, as a pastor, you have to protect your anointing. Well, let me tell you something. As a believer, you have to protect your anointing. As a believer, you have to protect your teaching. So that means we have to guard our thinking, and something that my wife always says, we have to guard our gates, our eye gates, our ear gate, all the gates need to be locked down. Yes, that may mean there's some things that we can't watch anymore. There's some things I used to enjoy. You know, it's not necessarily that they're bad things, but it's just that I don't enjoy them anymore. It's not fun. I used to like to watch gangster movies, not because I wanted to be a gangster. I liked the way they thought. You know, I liked the order and the structure with things. I didn't like it that if you didn't listen, they killed you. But I like the other things. I can't watch gangster movies anymore because the thought of what they do, I don't find that peaceful. My spirit gets all gnarly when I watch those things. But in the scripture we read, it talks about desires for all other things. Well, God gave me another name, a universal name for all those other things. He called them options. And we have to realize that God's word is God's instructions, and they're not subject to options. God's word is not subject to options. Now listen to these definitions. And there are a lot of definitions for options, and they're all not bad. You know, because option can just mean just to choose. You know, you can make the option to follow Christ. That's a good thing. But there is a principle about options in one of the definitions that is bad when used the wrong way. And it's something that may be chosen as an alternate course of action. Something that may be chosen as an alternate or an alternative course of action. In other words, we need to be mindful of things that are an alternative to God's directions, God's instructions, or God's commands. It's also important to understand that accepting an option instead of staying with God's word can stop the teaching that we have heard, that we have received from growing. It can stop the teaching from growing within you. And if the teaching stops from growing within you, then you don't bear any fruit of the teaching. There will be fruit because of the option, but it's not fruit that you want. You'll no longer benefit from the teaching of the word because it's interfered with the plans that God has for you. And you need to understand that. Options can cause you to miss what God has for you. Options can cause a rift between you and what God has for you to do because you're accepting the option and not the word. Psalm 119, verse 105 in the King James Version says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." It does not say my options, or rather the option to following God's word is a lamp unto my feet. Conversely, the option to God's word actually covers the light so you can't see the path. Because all you can see are the options. That's all. All you can see are the options. All you're going to see is what you're going through right now. And you don't see where you're going. And one thing, options will never tell you what the full outcome is going to be. Options are going to say, do this. But it's not going to tell you everything that's going to happen because you did this and not what God told you. Look at Genesis 2. Very, very simple analogy here with Adam and Eve. First two human beings on the earth. Prove this point tonight. In Genesis 2, verse 7, starting with verse 7, King James Version, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground," listen to this, "out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life also in the midst of the garden and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil." So every tree except those last two, the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, was pleasing to the eye and good for food. That means it was good to look at and it was very good to eat. Every tree. Genesis 2, verse 15 to 17. "And the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, of every tree of the garden thou mayest eat freely, of every tree, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt die." Now, was God's command clear? Yes, it was. Did he include any options? No, he did not. So now let's think about this. The verse says, "Out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to sight and good for food." So God made it so that Adam didn't have to choose anything. Adam could walk up to any tree and get something that was good to look, that tastes good and look good. Any tree. He didn't need to have any alternative course of action. Everything was there. Every tree was good and pleasant. And the Lord God commanded the man, of every tree of the garden thou mayest eat freely. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. Now, as you hear them say in movies and comedies, did God didn't stutter. He was crystal clear in what he said. Eat anything you want of these trees. This tree, don't eat. Clear. God always gives us specific instructions. What we need to understand is, yes, while God gives us specific instructions, the world will present us with options to what God has said. And he's going to make the world is going to make the options sound more desirable than what God said. Because the world doesn't care about what God said. And the world will do anything to get you to go with their options rather than you stick it out with God. Genesis 3. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, yeah, has God said you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said, ye shall not surely die. For God does know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes will be opened, and you will be as gods, knowing good and evil. Satan introduced something that could be chosen as an alternative course of action. He introduced an option. And he made that option sound attractive. Your teacher said, thou shalt not eat of the tree. The day you eat of it, you shall surely die. The world said, you shall not surely die. God is holding back from you. He's got something really good that he wants to keep only for himself. And you consider that option. That's the first mistake we make, folks. When we're presented with something, and it's obvious that it's an option because it's so contrary to what God wants to say, if we stop and consider it, if we hesitate, more than likely we'll wind up doing it. Because if we were so dead set against it, there would be no question. There would be no hesitation. And I'll tell you something else. We get options shoved in our face by folks whom we have authority over. I'll show you that in a minute. But let's go back to Mark 4 in the International Children's Bible. I want you to see this parallel with Adam and Eve. Verse 18 says, they hear the teaching, but then other things come into their lives. Adam and Eve heard the teaching, then another thing came into their lives. What other thing? Satan in the serpent. These things stop the teaching from growing so that the teaching does not produce fruit. Genesis 3, it says, the woman saw that the tree was pleasing to the eye and good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise. God did not say, do not eat of the tree unless you realize that it's pleasant to the eyes and easy and pleasing for food, and that it will make you wise. They didn't need to be made wise. They already were wise. Because God said that they were made in his image and after his likeness. So she took the fruit thereof and ate it, and then gave unto her husband with her, and he ate. And what makes this such an egregious act is that Adam was right there listening to every word. And Adam was authorized by God to stop it. And when you really think about what God said to both of them, Adam and Eve were both equipped to stop it. They both were, because in Genesis 1, verse 27 to 30, in the Message Bible, it says, God spoke. Message Bible starts at verse 26. God spoke, let us make human beings in our image, make them reflecting our nature, so they can be responsible for the fish in the sea, the birds in the air, and yes, earth itself. So man was made in God's image to be responsible for the earth. What does that mean? Everything concerning the earth fell under man's control, and it's that way to this day. Everything that's happening on earth is under the control of the children of the Most High God. Every animal that moves on the face of the earth, that means the serpent was under the control of Adam and Eve. And they're so busy listening to the options, they didn't even do right by the serpent. They should have never allowed Satan to enter into the serpent. He created them godlike, reflecting God's nature. He created them male and female, and God blessed them. He said, prosper, reproduce, fill the earth, take charge. So if Eve is the one listening, Adam could have stepped up and said, hold on, stop this nonsense right now. Satan, get out of my garden. Or if Adam was listening, Eve could have said, stop this nonsense right now. Get out of our garden. Both of them had the authority. But both of them were more concerned with what they thought they didn't have and paid no attention to what they did have, which was the full nature of God. And they're considering the options. Be responsible for fish in the sea and birds in the air and every living thing that moves upon the earth. As I said earlier, they were responsible for the serpent. And the serpent got punished because they didn't fulfill their responsibility. That's why they didn't stop it. They heard the teaching. They heard the commands. They heard the instructions. But then they started worrying about, what am I missing? This tree, it looks good, and it probably tastes good. Well, every tree in the garden looks good and tastes good. And God said, you can have your fill of all of the other trees. You can look at them as long as you want and eat them, eat as much as you want for them forever. Just don't eat this one. And the enemy comes and places the forbidden one as an option, as a viable option. Eat of this tree. You'll be just like God. Now let's think of something here. In Mark 4, 18 and 19, you know, we said others are like seed planted among thorny weeds. They hear the teaching, but then other things come into their lives, worries, love of money, and wanting all kinds of other things. These things stop the teaching from growing so that the teaching does not produce fruit in their lives. But I thought about something. How can that apply to Adam and Eve? How can the word they heard fall on thorny weeds when they were in the Garden of Eden? And there were no thorns, there were no weeds. So I can't be talking about physical thorns and physical weeds because they were not in the garden at that time. They came because they chose the option. But at that time, the garden was perfect. No thorns, no weeds. When you think about that, and you understand that, you have to remember that it's the parable of the sower. It's a comparison. What it's talking about is a mindset or an attitude. That's what it's talking about. These are those who have the mindset that when they hear the teaching, they don't let it take root. They don't meditate on it day and night. They just leave it at surface to use when it's convenient. So when an option is presented, it stops the teaching from growing because you didn't never allow the teaching to have full control. You never took the teaching and said, I'm just going to work this thing. No, we thought about it, and what we do is we try it. We try it. Let me try to live by faith. You don't try to live by faith. Let me try to walk by faith. You don't try to walk by faith either. You live by faith. You walk by faith. Period. Period. So not only didn't they receive the teaching, they didn't realize that everything they had, everything they could possibly need, was already provided. And then the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die. Well, she was already in a position where she wouldn't die. All she had to do was stick with the instructions and wipe out the options. She lives forever. She lives forever. But the way things can be put to us, even though we already have it, it can be placed in such a way or said in such a manner, we think we're missing out. We think we're getting something that we've never gotten before, something that was never available to us before, and we've had it all along and didn't realize it. The moment they considered the option, the moment we considered the option, whatever teaching that we have ceases to grow. Ceases, and we don't know at what point we are when that happens, but it just ceases to grow. And all of a sudden, even fruit could be just about ready to burst out, it stops like it was never there. Why? You went with the option. That's why. You went with the option. And you're no longer producing fruit. Remember I said earlier that one of the downsides of options that we don't think about is that the option is not going to tell you the other things that you're going to put in motion because you accepted it. Look at Genesis 3. God told the woman, you know, this is after he confronted them and they didn't just own up to it. They were blaming everybody. God told the woman, I'll multiply your pains in childbirth. You'll give birth to your babies in pain. You'll want to please your husband, but he'll lord it over you. He told the man, because you listen to your wife, and most men, they'll read that and they'll stop right there. Say, I'm not supposed to listen to your wife. No, it says, because you listened to your wife and ate from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from. We don't want to listen to anybody that tells us to do things other than what God had spoken to us. He said, because you listened to your wife and ate from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from, I said, don't eat from this tree. The very ground is cursed because of you. Now, I read this next part, and God always gives me a laugh. But when I read this next part, I started thinking about all the times I've heard women say, you haven't experienced pain until you've given birth to a child. I'm not knocking that because I haven't given birth to a child, but in the Message Bible, it says the very ground is cursed because of you. Getting food from the ground will be as painful as having babies is for your wife. So because Adam and Eve chose the option, anything that was produced by them was going to cause them intense pain, and they'd have to do it in pain. He told Adam, you'll be working in pain all your life long. The ground will sprout thorns and weeds. You'll get your food the hard way, planting and tilling and harvesting, sweating in the fields from dawn to dusk until you return to that ground yourself, dead and buried. You started out as dirt, you'll end up dirt. Now, none of this would have happened had Adam and Eve given God their full attention, if they hadn't taken their mind and their awareness off of God and onto an option to what God had to what God had told them, they were no longer operating with an awareness of God, but they were too busy considering the option to what God said. And that happens to all of it. I heard a quote. I shared it with the folks here, you know, this past Sunday. Pastor Billy Burke, actually, he was doing a miracle crusade at Eagle Mountain. And he said, you can't defeat a full-time devil being a part-time Christian. You can't. If we find ourselves giving in to options, we're not full-time. We're part-time. Part-time means God doesn't have all of our attention. Sometimes we pay attention to God, sometimes we don't. What's that commercial? Sometimes I feel like a nut, sometimes I don't. Okay. And that's just what it is when you decide to go with an option, you're feeling like a nut. You can't defeat a full-time devil being a part-time Christian. You can't experience what you've been given by God through Jesus Christ if you are not full-time. Being full-time makes weapons available to you, and you'll understand how to use them. And you'll understand that you use them to deal with the options that are coming. Folks, we need to understand something. We cannot stop options from presenting themselves. The devil is always, the world is always going to come up with an option. Always. God said, love one another. The same way I love you, you love one another. The world says, love one another only if everybody believes the same thing you believe. Only if everybody of the same race, the same belief, the same creed, the same political savvy. If anything is different, hate them. Get rid of them. It's giving you an option. And too many people are putting aside the teaching and going with the options. And things get out of control. Like I said, you cannot stop options from presenting themselves, but you don't have to accept them. As a matter of fact, every single option that could ever be presented is subject to you. How do I know that? Look at 2 Corinthians 10. I'll close with this for now. Out of the Passion Translation, 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5 and 6. We can demolish every deceptive fantasy that opposes God and break through every arrogant attitude that's raised up in defiance of the true knowledge of God. It says we can demolish every option. We can break through every arrogant attitude. It says we can capture, like prisoners of war, every thought and insist that it bow in obedience to the Anointed One. Since we are armed with such dynamic weaponry, we stand ready to punish any trace of rebellion as soon as you choose complete obedience. As soon as we make up our mind that we are full-time Christians, we'll operate in complete obedience, and options will not be applicable to us. Father, we thank you. We give you all the glory, honor, and praise. Thank you for this simple message, jam-packed with truth. We don't have to accept the options that are presented to us by the world. And we repent if we have been, and we're committing this moment of this evening that we're going to cast down any options that when they're presented. And we're definitely not going to accept them. Thank you that as we go throughout our day-to-day activities, the Holy Ghost will point out to us, this is an option, stay away from it. This is an option, protect the teaching that's in you. And we thank you for that, Lord. Our desire is to be good children. Our desire is to get the end that you have for us. Because you said you know the plans you have for us, the plans to prosper us and not harm us, to give us hope and an expected end. So we expect what you expect. And we're not going to accept any options that will darken the light that guides us on the path so that we get to where you want us. Thank you for it, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Two quick things I want to do. First of all, you have to be equipped. If you're going to cast down the options when they come, and even before that, if you're going to recognize this is an option to what God told me to do, you're going to have the greater one living inside you. And that greater one is the person of Jesus Christ. The Bible makes it easy. It says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. You shall be. So I'd like for everyone out there, just make this confession with me. If you made it before, it won't hurt. Just stay with us for another couple of minutes. Say, Father God, I believe that you are God, and I believe that Jesus is your son. So Jesus, I believe everything that the Bible says concerning you. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. I believe you were buried and went to hell and stayed in hell for 3 days. And I believe after the third day you were raised from the dead. So because of that, I'm asking you right now, this evening, come into my heart. I open up my heart to you, Lord. I call you, Lord. I turn from my past ways as an act of repentance, and I turn towards you, and I'm asking you, make something new of me. Well, friends, if you made that confession according to the Bible, you just got born again. You see the contact information on the screen, and I ask you, please contact us. Please, it could be as long or as short as you want. We just want to know who you are. And give us a means to contact you because we have some free information we want to send you. No, we're not going to put you on the mail list and just start sending you all this material. We're going to send you some information about who you've just become by accepting Jesus Christ, receiving Jesus Christ as your Savior. If you want anything after that, just ask for us and we'll include it. But that's what we want to do tonight. And as always, if you have any questions about anything we share tonight, use the same information to contact me, and I promise you, I will respond.